the two covenants. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. And we may read together with this, Luke 22 and verse 20. The cup, this cup, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And we may also read Hebrews 9 and 15. He, that is Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, or covenant. Every mention of the Lord's Supper in the Scriptures as an allusion to the New Testament, or covenant. This new covenant was made possible because of the ability of the Lord Jesus as its mediator to do with his own precious blood what no high priest of old could do with the blood of bulls and goats, that is, purify the conscience of sinners and cleanse their hearts from sin. Now look at the old covenant, first of all. There are two covenants in the Scriptures. One is the old covenant. This was made with Abraham, as his name then was, with Israel in his loins, Genesis 15 and verse 18. It is called in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the first covenant, chapter 9 and verse 1. It was great on God's part to propose such a covenant, and in this regard, it was really a covenant of grace. With the blood of oxen, this covenant was ratified 400 years later by Moses, as we see in Exodus 24, verses 3 to 8, and quoted in Hebrews 9, 18 to 22. After hearing all the terms of the covenant read to them, Israel solemnly pledged themselves to those terms. All the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Exodus 24 and verse 3. God swore to be their God. They swore to be his people and fully every command. Thus it now became a covenant of works, dependent upon the obedience of the people. The ancient method of making a covenant was to place a slain victim between the two contracting parties. The meaning of this was that if either party broke the terms of the covenant, then death should be the consequence. They were saying, in effect, let us die like this victim if we keep not our plighted word. Thus it was that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy because of the transgression of the covenant so solemnly sworn to. Cases such as the Sabbath breaker, the blasphemer, and Achan were all examples of this. Numbers 15, 32 to 36, Leviticus 24, 10 to 14, Joshua 7, 19 to 25. What shall we say then of godly believers in Israel, such as David, Hezekiah, and Jehoshaphat, since they too were transgressors of this covenant? How could they obtain the eternal inheritance? Only because they believed in the coming of the Redeemer and waited in faith for Christ to come with a better covenant. Since God made covenants first with Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race, nothing could be more offensive to Hebrew ears than to talk of a better covenant. The apostle, however, proves it from their own scriptures. It is their own prophet Jeremiah who speaks so clearly of a new covenant. And a new covenant necessarily makes the first one old so that it must vanish away. And how soon after the apostle wrote the epistle to the Hebrews did the Roman emperor Vespasian and his lordly general Titus destroy all Hebrew institutions of the old covenant? Wherein then was the weakness of the old covenant? It was made with fallen man. its terms made no provision for obedience. Man, not having the capacity to obey, could therefore find no security in it. On man's side, the covenant rested on the sand foundation of his own free will, which could not render a perfect obedience, but transgressed the covenant at every turn. Moreover, the old covenant was ratified with the blood of bulls and goats, which blood was of a fallen creation, and therefore, while used for external and typical ceremonial purposes, could never touch the inward life, nor purify the conscience, nor take away sin. Thus, when a man had sinned but once, he had broken the covenant and surrendered the promised eternal inheritance. Transgression brought any promise of God to an end. They continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Israel had breached the covenant term, so that the promises of the covenant were made of non-effect. Such was the old covenant. Now look at the new covenant. It is called new to distinguish it from the old. The old, because it was mediated through the obedience of the people, was made a covenant of work, which could not be kept. The new is a covenant within the Godhead only, and has nothing of man in it. This new one provides strength for man's obedience, so that his security is absolute and eternal. The old covenant's condition of man's obedience was impossible to keep. Its promise was, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. The new covenant is not established with men. Its blessings come to man without condition, but are freely given to those who are Christ through faith in him. The legal covenant waxed old because it served out its temporary purpose. For having done so, it decayed and waxed old. The new abides forever because it is ordained for an eternal purpose and has in it no principle of decay. Thus it ministers most freshly each day to a believer's heart. The object of the new covenant is the forgiveness of sin. This is what the Lord promised through Jeremiah. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, 34. This is the essence of what the Lord says in his own memorial feast. This is my blood of the new covenant, or testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Matthew 26, 28. The blood of bulls and goats of the old covenant could not do this, so that the cleansing of such was for the outward flesh only. The new covenant then, which was really God's eternal covenant made before the foundation of the world, and which was prophesied by Jeremiah, and which fulfilled the old and took its place, was ratified 600 years later by the precious blood of Christ, after the old had served its purpose. The sacrifices of the old covenant had to be repeated, which was only possible as long as the people dwelt in the land and raised bulls and goats. With Christ as the mediator of the new covenant, it is the very reverse. He was offered once, and the efficacy of his precious blood was such that it needed no repetition. There are many bulls and goats, but there is only one Son of God, and the sacrifice of himself was too excellent to be repeated. Thus, having entered the holy place above, he does not have to come out, as the high priest of old did from the earthly tabernacle, to look for more blood. Long before the law came by Moses, God gave Abraham a perfect picture of how the covenant of grace would come into being. God had spoken of an inheritance, and Abraham asked how she might know. That is, where was the trust deed or the legal document to attest it? Abraham was then instructed to take certain animals and divide them. This was the ancient custom of cutting a covenant. In the deep sleep which fell upon Abraham, he saw passing through the midst of the divided sacrifice a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. Thus the covenant was attested to. But Abraham was not a contracting party. These things were the emblems of the Son of God's bitter passion and the Father's eternal mercy. The Father and the Son only were the contracting parties, and Abraham had nothing to do but to believe the promise. That is how we all are to obtain the eternal inheritance. The blood of Christ indicates more than the death of Christ. There are liberal ministers who have strayed from the truth here. In some denominations, every reference about blood has been purged from the hymn books. But they know not what they do, for covenants are ratified only with blood and are ineffectual without it. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. Those who despise and reject the blood of Christ can have no assurance of God's acceptance of them, since the terms of the covenant have not been ratified for them without blood. The blood shedding of Christ is the most sacred part of the gospel. Alas, for those who miss this essential truth, they do not receive the benefit of the new covenant. It is only as we trust in the blood of Christ that that covenant is ratified to us. Now, hear the words of Sir Edward Denny to Calvary, Lord, in spirit now, our waiting souls repair to dwell upon thy dying love and taste its sweetness there. Sweet resting place of every heart that feels the plague of sin, yet knows that deep mysterious joy, the peace of God within. There through thine hour of deepest woe, thy suffering spirit passed, grace there its wondrous victory gained, and love endured its last. Dear suffering lamb, thy bleeding wounds with cords of love divine have drawn our willing hearts to thee and linked our life with thine. Amen. And amen.